From KPFK Pacifica Radio, this is Rising Up with Sonali, and I'm your host, Sonali Kolhatkar. You can watch this program on Free Speech TV and listen to it on Pacifica radio stations and affiliates nationwide. Democrats are under fire for muddying the waters on an effort to pass Medicare for All legislation. Lawmakers in the House, where the Democrats hold a decisive majority, have introduced at least 8 bills on healthcare that critics are casting as Medicare for some. Among them are Senator Sherrod Brown, who's considering a run for president and has introduced a bill allowing only retiring police and firefighters access to the Medicare system before they hit retirement age. Brown said it's easy to say Medicare for All and make a good speech, but see no action. According to Politico, the bills range from modest Medicare reforms to more ambitious restructurings that would extend government-run care to millions of new patients, an array of options that falls short of campaign trail promises for full Medicare for All. A lobby group named Protect Our Care, which is invested in strengthening Obamacare, has been developing messaging for Democrats on the issue. Also deeply concerned about Medicare for All is the health insurance industry, which sees an existential threat from a government-run system. Meanwhile, there is greater public support for a fully government-run Medicare for All system than ever before. A new Kaiser poll found that 71% of Americans support guaranteed health insurance as a right for all. My guest is Margaret Flowers. She's a pediatrician and advocate for single-payer healthcare. She's also the co-director of the group Popular Resistance. She's a board advisor of Physicians for a National Health Program and the coordinator of the Health Over Profit for Everyone campaign. Welcome to the program, Margaret.
Thank you for inviting me.
So there is, of course, one sort of pure Medicare for All bill, and then you've seen the slew of alternatives that have been introduced right around the time when there are set to be hearings in the House on Medicare for All. Let's step back and ask ourselves, aren't we actually seeing tremendous progress in that this idea of Medicare for All that was considered anathema, political suicide, just, you know, 5-6 years ago, is being openly talked about in mainstream publications, and the right wing and health insurance industries are really terrified of it?
Absolutely. I think it's important for us to recognize that when you look at the big picture, we've come a really long way to being off the table, which was the situation in 2009, 2010, to being something that politicians have to at least say that they support. And it's to be expected, you know, that they're going to be putting out different proposals to make it look like they're doing something on Medicare for All. You know, we have to be aware of that. But overall, we've made tremendous progress, and that's because of the movement that's continued to fight for this over the years.
It's interesting to see some of these proposals that extend Medicare coverage to some Americans, like the Sherrod Brown proposal. And one wonders, how does one draw the line around who has the right to government-run health care and who doesn't? So far, that line has been at retirement age. We have Medicare for retirees. And there is, of course, Medicaid for people who live with disabilities or fall below a certain poverty level. But other than that, everybody else is excluded. And now we're seeing these little, subsets of people that are considered the lucky ones by some politicians that deserve government-run healthcare, but the rest don't. How do they draw these lines?
Yeah, well, this is an interesting tactic that they use, because it's really one that's aimed at dividing the movement. So they, you know, and this is something that we're always told, the politicians always tell us that we're asking for too much, but you can have this. So who's going to argue that police and firefighters shouldn't have Medicare, right? But that's used to then, you know, divide us and to for people to say, well, what are you against police and firefighters? You don't want them to get care. I think it's just really important for us to be clear that in the United States, we're spending enough money right now on health care to provide high quality, comprehensive care to every person living in the country. And so why should we settle for anything less than that? This is what every other wealthy nation does for their population. And we can't allow these tactics to divide us.
Fox News, of course, has been all over the cost of health care. Medicare of Medicare for All programs, kind of making, first of all, claiming sadly wrongly that the entire Democratic Party is backing Medicare for All, and then attempting to ask this question of, well, how will we pay for it? I would love to someday see the exact same conversations around defense spending. We never get those in the headlines. How are we going to pay for a new fighter jet? No one asks that.
Right. Only when it comes to something that's, considered social spending do they require that we come up with a mechanism. But then again, no matter if you're an honest person, you can look around the world and see that other countries are providing high quality care, have better health outcomes, longer life expectancies for about half of what we're spending in the United States. So it's not, this is not an experiment. This is a proven system that works, that actually will save money and provide greater security to people in the United States, to know that you don't have to worry about, if you get sick, that you might lose your home or your job.
Are you heartened by the number of presidential contenders that are saying overtly that they back Medicare for All? Of course, we have Bernie Sanders, who hasn't officially announced it, but there's lots of rumors that he's about to announce his run. And he backed Medicare for All as part of his party campaign platform 2 years ago. But then you have, Elizabeth Warren, Kamala Harris, Cory Booker, a number of other Democratic contenders who are explicitly backing a Medicare for All system, at least while they are campaigning. Is that heartening?
It is. I mean, again, it's a sign of the progress that the movement has made. A few years ago, when we were fighting the Trans-Pacific Partnership, a big trade deal, it was something that the movement fought to make politically toxic for politicians. And in the 2016 elections, we saw that happen and we were able to defeat that. And now we're seeing the same thing going into the 2020 elections, where National Improved Medicare for All is on the political agenda. And so that gives us the responsibility and the opportunity to really push it and make it more than just a campaign promise, but to hold them to this.
Let's talk about this lobbying group, Protect Our Care. If you go to their website, they say their slogan is fighting to protect healthcare for millions of Americans. Notably, they don't say for all Americans. So who are they and what are they fighting to protect?
Right. So this is a group that's funded by all of the corporations that are profiting from our current healthcare system. So the health insurance companies, the pharmaceutical benefit managers and big pharma companies. And they're going to be using this kind of language. We actually, I think it was Li Feng who leaked some of the talking points and strategy from this group. And they're going to be trying to create confusion and create fear and do what they can to persuade people in the United States to oppose transitioning or moving, actually, I should say, because we could just go right there, to a national improved Medicare for All healthcare system. And that's why we have to be aware and not allow them to do that. And exactly as you said, there's no reason why we shouldn't be covering every single person in the country as quickly as possible.
So Protect Our Care is supposedly attempting to preserve the Obamacare program. And it's been interesting, the Affordable Care Act, which has been the bane of the right wing and whittled away in the courts, by the states, by the president through executive order, through starving it of funds. But essentially, the Affordable Care Act was a gift to the health insurance industry, right? So it shouldn't be surprising that their lobby group is working to protect that act, even though, of course, it did extend coverage to more Americans. So it was better than nothing, or better than the Wild West that we had. But it's interesting that this group is a corporate group fighting against right-wing attacks. So you've got the sort of liberal centrists in the middle who are backing Obamacare, and then you've got the right-wing who are fighting both against Medicare for All and fighting against the Affordable Care Act.
Well, the Affordable Care Act has, as you said, it has been a huge benefit to the pharmaceutical corporations, the health insurance corporations. Basically, when it comes to health insurance, now people are required to buy their product. They're given subsidies that go to the health insurance companies to help buy those products. And then the health insurance companies in return have continued to do what they've always done, which is to try to shift more of the cost onto people. So people are paying huge out-of-pocket costs before their coverage even begins, or to, you know, restrict where people can go. So again, you have to pay more of the cost. In 2016, just the subsidies alone to the private insurance industry of our public dollars was $300 billion. And that's why we continue to see their stocks rising very rapidly, their CEOs making multi-million dollar salaries. And, you know, this is a huge drain of dollars from our healthcare system that could actually be going for care. But of course, they're going to be fighting to protect that. And their solutions to fixing the Affordable Care Act are things like, well, you should give us tax breaks. You should give us more money. You should reinsure us so that if we have to actually pay for health care, that, you know, the public dollars are helping to supplement that. There's no reason why we should even have these entities in our healthcare system.
So Senator Ed Merkley, a Democrat, supposed to be a liberal, said this in his argument against transitioning immediately to a Medicare for All system. He said, if we could make the leap straight to Medicare for All, I would love for us to do that. But it's important to lay out a route about how we get to that vision. If you tell people the only choice they have is Medicare, that could produce a lot of folks being concerned about, wait a minute, I like my health care and you're telling me to leave it. Is this a false choice that's presented that essentially these are folks that are these are folks that have been saying, you know, for years, if you get Medicare for All, the healthcare that you have will disappear and no one's going to like that. What's wrong with that argument?
So that's a normal thing that happens in any social movement when you're proposing, you know, a big change. People know the system doesn't work. They know that there's a crisis, but having the courage to move to that next step can sometimes be difficult for some people. But there's an easy way to overcome that. And if our politicians were out there saying instead, oh, look, we have this amazing American legacy, Medicare, it's been modeled, you know, copied by other countries around the world, and it's going to be better than your employer health insurance because you aren't going to have to pay out of pocket if you get sick. You don't have to worry if you lose your job. You still will get the health care that you need. They could absolutely be messaging this to people and telling the truth about how it will benefit them. And that would go a long way to overcome any concerns that people have. But we have to be clear that there's nothing standing in the way between us right now, between us and getting this healthcare system, except the politicians. We're spending enough money. We have hospitals and health professionals. We have a national system through Medicare that we can use to administer the system. And so there's no reason why we should have to delay moving to this, because any delay that we use is going to and result in continuation of thousands of unnecessary deaths every year.
Now, what about the fact that you have this set of different bills that in many ways rely on a sort of public ignorance about Medicare for All? You've got so much propaganda coming from the middle and from the right. Is there enough education happening from the left about Medicare for All? And of course, this is not to say this is just a left issue. There are plenty of, you know, people who identify as Republican who would like to see a Medicare for All system. Is there enough education about this issue? The Kaiser poll that I cited found that if you actually start to tell people about the details of a Medicare for All system, that the support for it drops. There was another poll that Forbes showed saying that not enough people had heard about this idea of Medicare for All. I don't know how accurate these polls are.
Yeah, right. Yeah, we always need to do more education, and we need to be explaining to people how this is, you know, how we're going to move to this system and what it's going to be like for them in a way that portrays how it, you know, it really is. I think these polls sometimes use language that is a little deceiving, like telling people that their taxes are going to go up, but not telling them that they will no longer have to pay for premiums or co-pays or other out-of-pocket costs. But I think in we've come a long way. If you think about, you know, maybe 10 years ago, people were saying we had the best healthcare system in the world. And now they're recognizing, you know, if you go out into the public, people are saying, oh, no, we don't have a very good healthcare system. Our outcomes are not that great. We are spending a lot of money. So our messages are getting through. We always need to continue to educate people.
Now, Margaret, of course, those Americans who have a job, have certain levels of education, and are the most likely to have decent employer-provided healthcare are also the ones that are often most likely to go out and vote and exercise their civic duty. When you speak to that sort of a person who does have private health insurance that they really like, how do you explain to them why Medicare for All will benefit everybody, including them?
Right. Well, we're seeing an erosion of employer benefits in the United States.
Their employer could change their mind tomorrow, and then where would they leave them, right?
Right. Yeah. And, you know, every year they're having to, often they're having to change their policies. And that has real consequences. If your employer drops the policy that you've had and now you have to choose a new one, then the physician that you're using may not be in that network. And then you have to change physicians, which is a huge disruption to care. It's very difficult to do. So people don't have that security that they're always going to have that plan. With a national improved Medicare for All, you do. And all of the health professionals are in the system. So you have much more choice over where you can get care.
And also, it doesn't it free you up to switch jobs if you would want to? A lot of people end up stuck in jobs that they may not like because they or even they and their whole family is relying on the healthcare options, health insurance options that those jobs offer.
Oh, absolutely. There's tremendous freedom. I mean, if you want to start your own business, there's a lot of people who, you know, refrain from starting their own businesses because of concerns about healthcare. There are people who stay in relationships that they don't want to stay in because they have that health security. People who go into the military because they want that health security. There's all kinds of unfortunate incentives that really, you know, impact people's freedom in this country from not having a universal healthcare system.
So I understand Representative Pramila Jayapal in the House and Senator Bernie Sanders in the Senate have introduced the best Medicare for All bill that organizations and advocates like yourself are backing.
Well, I wouldn't quite say it that way. Pramila Jayapal in the House is currently rewriting a bill that we've had for 16 years. It's called H.R. 676, although it will no longer have that number. It was the Expanded and Improved Medicare for All Act. And while there's some very good things in it, we still have some concerns about some of the provisions. And so we are actually pushing her right now to make some changes to it before she introduces it. We're expecting it to be introduced in early February. And Senator Sanders, who introduced legislation in September of 2017, will likely be reintroducing that. His legislation has some pretty serious flaws in it, that it's weaker than even the version that Pramila Jayapal is putting together. So we have a lot of work to do. While it's good that we will have this legislation in Congress, we have to be clear about exactly what that system is going to be like, that it will include everybody, that it will be put in place rapidly, and that there won't be any for-profit providers in our systems because they are a huge problem. They cost more and they have poorer outcomes. There are higher deaths associated with, you know, in facilities that are for-profit than other ones.
Well, we might have to have you back on in February to give us the details of some of those that are being introduced. What's a good website for people to find out about the work you do and about this fight for Medicare for All?
Thank you. Well, Health Over Profit for Everyone is our national campaign. It's healthoverprofit.org. We have lots of materials there and regular educational and organizing calls that people are welcome to join.
Healthoverprofit.org. Margaret, thank you so much for joining us.
Thank you for having me.
My guest is Dr. Margaret Flowers. She's a pediatrician. She's an advocate for single-payer healthcare, co-director of Popular Resistance, and board advisor to Physicians for National Health Program. She's also the coordinator of the group Health Over Profit for Everyone. I'm Sonali Kolhatkar. We're online at risingupwithsonali.com, where you can sign up for our daily newsletter, subscribe to our audio podcast on iTunes, and our video channel on Vimeo.